So I want to tell a testimony that I tell probably several times a week. If you've come here before, you've heard it a lot of times. But I met my wife and we got married 13 years ago. And not long after we got married, she started getting sick with pain in her body. It started in her neck and it spread into her back. It spread out all over her whole body. And it got progressively worse. And after going to a bunch of different doctors and nobody knowing what was wrong, we found out she had a condition called fibromyalgia. Anybody ever heard of fibromyalgia? Fibromyalgia is awful. It makes you in chronic pain and chronic fatigue all the time. It's like you have a terrible flu with also like you just got out of football practice. And her life, basically, she got so weak from not being able to move around that she ended up in a wheelchair. If we wanted to go anywhere, she could walk about 50 feet or so. And so her life basically consisted of taking pain medicine and trying to make it to another day. Then in December of 2005, she got hit with another condition called RSD. Anybody ever heard of that? It's a nerve problem where her body thought that there was something wrong with her arms when there wasn't. And so there's constant pain shooting in both arms, but there's no way to stop it. So her arms were in so much pain that she couldn't use her hands anymore. When I say she couldn't use her hands, she couldn't hold a remote control. She couldn't use the bathroom. She couldn't brush her teeth. She couldn't get hair out of her face. It's awful. During all this time, we were both Christians. We both grew up. We believed in Jesus. Never seen anybody get healed, though. Didn't really know much about healing other than that's something Jesus did a long time ago. One day I met this man. He invited us to his house for prayer. We walked in. We sit down. He says, what's wrong? She said, I have fibromyalgia. He said, fibromyalgia is easy. I've seen that healed a bunch of times. I thought, what in the heck? Who are you? So we started talking, and then he and his wife started praying for Teresa, my wife. She was laying in the floor while they were praying for her. And in the middle of his prayer, he said, get up. And he helped her up, and he took her to his front door. And he said, I want you to walk to the end of my street and turn left and walk up that hill and touch those mailboxes and come back. Now, I'm sitting there knowing she can't make it to the end of his driveway, much less the four blocks he's asking her to walk. But she took off. And before I could stop, me and my great faith, he turned around and walked back into the living room with a word of knowledge that, like Teresa, Tina was talking about a minute ago, where God told him something that he had no way of knowing. He walked in there and he pointed at me and he said, you've been praying to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, how in the heck do you know that? Because I didn't know what was going on. But I knew I had been praying for that for 10 years. I didn't really know what it was. I just had heard about it. And whatever God has, I want. Anybody with me on that? And he said, you've been praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I said, yes, I have for about 10 years. And then he said, get up and you're going to get it right now. Yeah. So I stood up and he said, put your hands in the air. And then he said this, and this was also from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows my brain. He said, don't try to figure it out. Just speak. And I had been trying to figure it out for 10 years. And I want to tell anyone in here, if that's how you are, good luck with that. Because you are not going to figure it out. I've been studying this ever since the day I received it. I study this all the time and I still haven't figured it out. It doesn't fit into a spreadsheet or a flow chart. But he said, don't try to figure it out, just speak. So I said, this is the way I'm thinking. Well, he was right two times so far. What the heck? So I just opened my mouth and I started to speak and I started praising God in a language that was not English. Now, I did not know what I was saying, but I knew I was thanking the Lord somehow. I just knew it. And there was like a flood of God's presence came on me. It's hard to describe this, but it was almost like I was watching myself. And I'm sitting there, and it's hard to describe the way I felt right then, but I was just praising God from my innermost being. How's that? And I'm doing that in the living room for a while, and then I say, wait a minute. And I'd forgotten all about Teresa. And so for all I know, she could have been laying at the end of the driveway. And I turned and looked, and she was standing at the front door of his house, and she had made it, and she was totally healed. Amen. Yes, isn't that awesome? And that's the last day she took codeine. And she came back in, we sat down, he told her some things. And then we drove home in our car, and I felt like I had just been kicked out of an airplane and I was flipping through the air. I didn't know which way was up. Because I thought, what have I been missing all these years? I've been a Christian since I was a kid. Here I am, 36 years old, I see my wife get healed. And here I am, I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. This is awesome. Sign me up for this stuff. So I spent the next several years, this is how my brain works, trying to figure out what just happened to me. So what I'm going to do tonight is share with you some of the things I've learned about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, some answers to some questions that I had. Then, just like me, anyone in here, if you're ready to receive it, you don't have to wait. You can have it tonight. So at the end of class, I'm going to pray for anyone that wants that to receive it. If you want it, you're going to receive it. Amen? Amen. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is how God feels about it. Can I get someone to read Matthew 3:11 for me?
I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
So here, John the Baptist has been commissioned by God to announce the beginning of the ministry of Jesus on the earth. Let me say that again. God has sent a prophet to announce the fact to the world that his son, Jesus, is about to start his ministry. This is the biggest event in human history. Imagine the honor of being chosen to announce Jesus. And God could have given John the Baptist a lot of different things to share. A lot of different things he could have said about the ministry of his son. I mean, we can think of all kinds of things Jesus does. But in Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:7 and 8, Luke 3:16 and John 1:33, they all quote the same thing that John the Baptist said, that Jesus is going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. That was one of the main things that God the Father wanted the world to know about Jesus. That Jesus was going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. That tells me that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a big deal to God the Father. Amen. It's not a side issue. That is at the center. Personally, I believe that's the second most important thing a human being can find out about. The first one being Jesus is Lord. I know of nothing else I could rank higher in importance than the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this because my Father in heaven says this. He's the one that decided what John the Baptist was supposed to announce, and he chose baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, and let's see what Jesus says about it. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 4 through 8. The setting here is Jesus has died on the cross, went in the tomb, and came out 3 days later. He rose from the grave. He was alive from the dead. And the Bible says that he spent 40 days with his disciples, telling them about the kingdom. Then he makes this statement. This is Acts 1:4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. I want to write that down. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So this is what John the Baptist has been talking about. And Jesus says this is about to happen. Verse 6, it says, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus responded, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. This is verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, among the last things he ever said before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, told them that he wants them to wait and receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Which is also the promise of the Father. Now, I want you to think about this. He's talking to Peter and John and Matthew and people that have been with him the last 3 years. Yes?
Do you think these guys are believers?
The question is, do you think these guys are believers? That's funny. So they've been following Jesus around for 3 years, and they've been trained in person by the manifest Son of God in the flesh. Think about that. Every day you wake up and you hang out with Jesus and you hear the greatest teacher of all time teach. And you get to listen to that. Not only that, when he's finished, you get to ask him questions about what he meant. Not only that, you get to see him heal thousands of people over and over and cast out demons. Not only that, one day he turns around and tells you to start doing that stuff. And then you go out and do whatever you do, and then you come back and he trains you like an apprentice. And you have 3 years of in-person training with the Son of God. I would think that would make you prepared.
Amen.
But according to Jesus, that's not enough. Because he told these people that had been with him for the last 3 years, even though they had received the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel so that people can get saved, he said, do not get started until you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That tells me that this was a big deal not only to God the Father, but God the Son. This was very important to Jesus. He was wanting to delay the start of the Great Commission in order for his disciples to receive this. So I think I'm on safe ground saying this is very important. This is something that I believe every Christian should know about. Personally, I think it should be part of the new believers class. It's that important. So now I want to talk a little bit about what the baptism with the Holy Spirit is for. There's a lot of confusion, I find. There's a couple of questions that come up a lot, and I'm going to try to address one of them right here. There are a lot of different things that the Holy Spirit does. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Some of the things he does, when you believe in Jesus, when you get saved, he comes and lives inside of you and becomes joined to your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So the moment that you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. That's one thing that he does. He also starts communicating with you in a way he didn't before, speaking to you. You may not always realize that it's him, but he's already doing that. He also is working inside of you, helping you develop fruit of the Spirit so that can be displayed on the outside. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads us. That's another thing He does. Those are not all the same thing. And so we get confused when we try to start taking things that are separate and mixing them together and thinking they're the same thing. Now, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not getting saved. It comes after, or it can come the same time, but usually it comes after. And it's for a different purpose. The purpose of getting saved or believing in Jesus is that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You become a member of God's family, a citizen of His kingdom. You get to go to heaven. But that's not the purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit has a different purpose. I want to read the purpose of it again. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The baptism with the Holy Spirit, the purpose of it, is to bring power. Not character development, power. Okay? Those are both very important, but they're different. Now, these guys had already been going out, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and casting out demons. That's what they were learning from Jesus. They already were doing these things. So the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not a prerequisite, but evidently it's going to give them power to be more effective in their calling. And that's what it's for. They were told to go out, and then He was going to give them power to do it more effectively. Power that they did not have before. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, its purpose is to give you power to perform your calling more effectively than you could without it. Let me say that a different way. The purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is to bring power to you to help you fulfill God's call on your life. So you may already be doing things with God and teaching and doing different things, but this baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to be like an amplifier that gets hooked to that. Here's another analogy I use. Let's say you're a foreman on a construction site or a superintendent, and you're running the construction site, and you have people out there. Let's say you're one of the employees, okay? And I'm out there and I'm supposed to help build this house. So I have a hammer and a saw and stuff like that. And I'm working and I'm getting the job done and it's okay. And there's people that are really good at it and they're like really fast. And then there's people like me who are fumbling their way through it. Then the foreman pulls up with a van full of power tools. And he says, "I want this house to be built. So come get tools that are going to help you build it better. You can build it without them, but this is going to make it go a lot better." So you come up and get your power tool, and it starts going better. I have a nail gun now. I don't have to hit the nail with the hammer 35 times and hit my thumb. I can do my mission better. It doesn't mean I'm better. It means I'm better than I was. I'm not better than anyone around me. The guy who was really good, he's probably still outpacing me. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is important because this gets people hung up right here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not make you better than other people. It makes you better than you were. So if you want to compare yourself before and after, but not to other people. Another thing about this that gets people hung up is it's not a reward for service or a badge of honor or a sign that God loves you more. God wants the house to be built, and He wants to get you tools so that you can do it. It has nothing to do with how good or bad you are. And if you have it, it doesn't mean you were good enough to get it. And if you don't have it, it's not your behavior that's holding you back. It's free. Can you imagine the foreman on the job pulling up with the power tools, wanting the house to be built, and someone comes up and he says, "No, you haven't been good enough. Go use the hammer. I wanted to take longer to build the house with more error." The foreman wants the guys to have the power tools. Now, I'm not equating the Holy Spirit with power tools. I'm just using this to help illustrate the purpose of this experience. Also, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not meant to be an experience. It's meant to bring power that you use. Questions on that? So I want to show one verse that helps settle the fact about whether you have it when you get saved or not. This is a question. I feel like that question's in this room. People that believe, well, I thought you'd get that when you get saved. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 8, we're going to settle this. According to Jesus in the Great Commission, he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized is what? Saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's Jesus' definition for getting saved. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 4, it says this, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Let's just skip down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So here we have Philip preaching Christ to people. They believe, and then they get baptized. According to Jesus, these people are saved in verse 12. Can you see that? Then verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now they were saved in verse 12. And the disciples in Jerusalem heard about it, and so they sent Peter and John down to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to these Christians. It's not the same as getting saved. There's no way around that. All right. The next thing I want to address is this idea of you having to be good enough to deserve it, or work hard, or understand it enough. So go with me to Acts chapter 10. If you can, please. Turn to Acts chapter 10. I'm short on time, so I'm moving quickly. So thank you for keeping up. Acts chapter 10. Here's the story going on here. God sent an angel and appeared to a man named Cornelius. The angel said, send to this town and ask for someone named Peter to come tell you the gospel. So Cornelius follows the instructions, sends people to find Peter. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is giving Peter visions and speaking to him, saying, go with the, there's people coming to look for you. You need to go with them. Peter goes. He comes to the home of Cornelius. He walks in the door, and Cornelius tries to fall down and worship Peter. That shows Cornelius did not know anything about Christianity. Because one of the first things we learn is we don't worship people, hopefully. Cornelius is not even a Christian yet. He's never even heard of Jesus, really. And Peter comes in and he starts preaching the gospel. Now if you skip to verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So these are people that are not Christians, and they hear the gospel, believe, and then they get baptized with the Holy Spirit maybe one millisecond later, almost simultaneously. So because of this scripture, I'm going to tell you the prerequisites for being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Number one, you have to believe in Jesus and be saved. All right? Number two, that's it. You have to be a Christian for at least 1 second. And then you've fulfilled all the requirements. There's nothing else you're waiting on. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Because when I was praying about it and seeking it and trying to learn about it, I heard all kinds of stuff. I heard someone say, God's not going to fill and clean a dirty vessel. Anybody heard that? Good luck with that. It's not my job to make myself clean. God did that when I got saved. Amen. I can't make myself clean. God makes me clean. See, stuff like that will trip you up if you don't know any better. I heard a lot of stuff. Let's put it that way. So I want to cut through all that and tell you that if you have believed in Jesus at some point in your life, then you have met every prerequisite. Hallelujah. Questions on that? All right. Next, I want to tell you what it's going to look like when you receive it. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. So remember we read the story about Jesus telling them, you're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then he ascends to the right hand of the Father, and 10 days later this happens. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Part of the power that comes with the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the power to speak in tongues. It comes with it. It's like your car comes with a steering wheel. It comes with it. It's included. I want you to see here, it says, verse 4, they were all filled and began to speak in other tongues. It wasn't just the apostles, it was everybody. Now, one thing you'll find, I have a Bible study up there, if you want to take them home with you, on the front desk, where you can go through and look at all the places where people receive the baptism. I normally try to go through those, but I don't have time tonight. But if you go through there and look, every time it happens, 100% of the people there that want to receive it, receive it. And 100% of the people that receive it, something happens that everyone around them can see or notice or hear. And every time we're told what happened, it's always that they spoke in tongues. There's never a case in the Bible where it says they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and some of them spoke in tongues and some of them did this. That is not in there anywhere. Anytime it tells you the details, everyone spoke in tongues that received it. And everyone that wanted it received it. It wasn't picking and choosing. It wasn't God saying, I'm going to give this to these people, but you guys are going to have to wait. That's another thing that you'll find when you study this out. No one is ever told to wait except the very first time because the day hadn't come yet. But since the day of Pentecost, no one has ever been told to wait. That's something people used to tell me also. Maybe it's not your time yet. It's your time. And if no one's ever told you, tonight is your time. Okay? The time is now. It says they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a key phrase in here that I like. It says that they began. They began. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God didn't make their mouth move. They began. That's another hang-up I had. I thought I was waiting on God to come do something to my mouth. I don't want to ask people to raise their hands, but I know I'm not the only person like that. But if you remember in my testimony, he said, don't try to figure it out, just speak. And when I spoke, God met me there. He was waiting on me to step out of the boat, and he was making the water hold me up. But all the times I prayed and had hands laid on me and people around me in a circle yelling. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. But I was always waiting on God to come do something to me. But that is not how it works. He's a gentleman. He doesn't make you, he doesn't tackle people and put them in the headlock and make them believe. He offers and lets them choose. And tonight is an offer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you haven't received it, and you can choose to receive it. And I'm going to give some instructions on that in a minute. Now, right now, I want to talk a little bit about what speaking in tongues is for. Again, I'm having to go really quickly through this, so I would encourage you to grab the handouts out there on your way out. I want to give you just a couple of reasons why you would want to speak in tongues. I did not mean to erase that, I promise. Let me leave that back up there. The first one, and to me my favorite, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to read this to us. This also clears up a lot of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Paul says this, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." I'm going to read that again. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Does anyone have a different translation there for that? For 1 Corinthians 14, 14. What does yours say, man?
Mine says, "My mind is unfruitful."
My mind is unfruitful. Anybody else have a different word there? All right. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you two things out of this right here you need to remember. Number one, the thing that's praying is my spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Is that what your Bible says? When you're praying in tongues, it's your spirit communicating to God. Now, I wish I had time to go into this, but a human being, when you get born again, when you get saved, your spirit becomes brand new. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that when we believe, we are born again, born of spirit. And our spirit is perfect. Hebrews 10:14. I don't have time to go into all these if you want to write these down. God makes you perfect right off the bat. Ephesians 4:24 tells you that you are holy and righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your spirit is made brand new. Not your mind, not your brain, your emotions, not your body. Your spirit. Now, when you're praying in tongues, your spirit that has been born again and made perfect is getting to use your vocal cords to talk to God. But it's not a mental activity. It's a spiritual activity. And especially when you first start doing it, most of us, our mind is used to being in charge, not our spirit. We're used to operating on how we can figure things out, trusting our intellect or trusting our emotions. But this is a way, how many know that our intellect doesn't always have the right answer? And our emotions are even less likely to be correct. And our emotions and our mind are good, but they're not meant to lead us. We're meant to be led by the Holy Spirit and our spirit. We're meant to walk in the Spirit. So when I'm praying to God in tongues, the best thing about it to me is I'm praying something that's holy and righteous, and I know that it's right, and I know that He likes it because it's coming out of my born-again spirit. That is awesome. I don't have to figure out the right words to say. And when I was praising God, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues the first time, I was able to praise Him in a way that I couldn't have words for. I didn't know the right words to say. I mean, I can stand there and say, "You're awesome, you're awesome, you're awesome." But have you ever been wanting to praise God and you just can't get the right words out? Amen. Well, this is a great way for that, because your spirit is going to communicate with God in a way that He understands. But it's not uncommon, in fact, it's very common, that especially when you first start doing this, your mind is wanting to analyze it. But it's not a mental activity. And so that can get you messed up. You can't figure it out. It's not your brain that's doing the praying. It's your spirit. And this is a way to train yourself to be spiritual and make your mind come in second place, be second in charge, and let your spirit be first in charge. It's an exercise you can do. Every time you pray in tongues, you're being supernatural. You're being spiritual. It gives you a way to go beyond the limits of your intellect. Let me say it that way. It gives you a way to communicate with God in a way that goes beyond the limits of your intellect. That's my first and my favorite. I'm going to give you maybe two more. Okay? In this same chapter, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Now, if you look that word up in the Greek, mysteries, it means hidden wisdom, or wisdom that is not revealed yet. So when you're praying in the Spirit, one of the things that you can be doing is declaring the wisdom of God over your life, over your situation, whatever you're trying to pray about that you don't have the words for. I think that's awesome. I absolutely want God's wisdom involved in every area I can get it, because He knows how to do it. He knows the right answer. Now, this also helps clear up some confusion sometimes, that sometimes people seem to have a problem if other people want to pray in tongues where you can hear it. Now, if you're praying in, I don't advise you to go around doing this in an unwise way, trying to offend people. But if I'm praying in the Spirit and someone says, "You need to stop that, I don't understand what you're saying," then my answer is, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God right now. Is it okay to pray to God?" Yes, it is. But I'm not going to go into the middle of a town hall lecture and stand up and start praying to God on the... I mean, there's appropriate places to do this stuff. Right? Like, I don't go to a meeting at work and just say, "Let's just start praying." And likewise, there's right times to pray in tongues and stuff like that. I'm not saying be unwise. But when you're praying in tongues, you're talking to God. Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Your different translations may say, "He who speaks in a tongue strengthens himself." Does anybody have that? Okay. So the word edify means to strengthen or build up. So one of the great things about praying in tongues is if you feel like you're in the ditch, then you can start praying in tongues and build yourself up out of it. Or sometimes, let me combine that with another verse I'm about to read. This is Jude verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So praying in the Holy Spirit builds you up and also helps you build your faith. So one of the times where I use praying in tongues is when I'm about to go into a situation and I'm getting tempted with doubt, or I'm getting tempted with unbelief or fear. I like that. This is a little bit of an embarrassing story, but I was in Target one time when I was first learning about healing, And I'm in there looking at picture frames with my wife, and I look down the aisle, and there's a lady in a wheelchair with her daughter and her mother. There's three generations there. And I wanted to go pray for them, and I know myself that if I start walking, it's harder for me to stop than to sit there and talk myself into it. So if I just start walking before I can start thinking about it, I have a greater chance of going over there and doing it. So I'm walking towards the lady to pray for her. And about halfway there, I start realizing, I don't know what the heck I'm going to say. And I'm starting to chicken out. So I take a left turn, and I start walking around the aisles in Target over in the pharmacy, praying in tongues. Now, I'm not doing this out loud in front of everybody. I'm just kind of doing it under my breath, because I know that if I do it, my faith's going to grow, and I'm going to be stronger. And so I made a couple of laps. And while I'm doing that, the wisdom of God came and told me what to say. And it was so simple. Why didn't I think of this? And I don't remember what it is now, but it was something like, do you guys believe in Jesus? It was something like, that's genius. So anyway, that's times where I use it. When I feel like something's getting on top of me, or I'm out of sorts, or I need strength. There's several others, and those are on my paper back there, the handout. So I encourage you to get that if you're interested in this, if this is new to you. So that gift of talking to God in a way that goes beyond your intellect comes with getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. So right now, I'm going to talk about this before I forget it again. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. Now we read that everyone in the upper room was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in tongues. And the next thing in the story is that it caused a great commotion. And people from all over came around to find out what it was. Now here's another thing I was taught that's incorrect. People will say that speaking in tongues is the purpose is to preach the gospel in different languages. Has anyone ever heard that? I know people in here have heard that. Yes, okay. But in this story, they're speaking in tongues and worshiping God. It says they were declaring the wonderful works of God. Then a crowd gathered, and then Peter starts preaching the gospel to them in their language. Peter wasn't preaching in tongues. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just to preach the gospel to people to foreigners. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that settles that issue for me. So Peter starts preaching the gospel, and part of his message, he says this towards the end. If you'll skip down to verse 32, he says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and what? Hear." What those people were hearing was these people speaking in tongues. Now it says here, imagine this picture. Jesus has risen and ascended and been seated at the right hand of the Father. And it says, therefore, verse 33 again, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. So again, the Father and the Son is seated at his right hand. And it says the Holy Spirit, however this works out in the mystery of their relationships. The Father gave the Holy Spirit to the Son, and the Son, Jesus, was allowed to pour the Holy Spirit out on his new bride, the church. And so the promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise not from God to us, but between God the Father and God the Son. It's that Jesus has accomplished his mission, and now he is receiving the promise. And God the Father had promised the Son that once he finishes, he can pour out the Spirit on his children. So this helps you see that this is something that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want all of us to have. And when we pray for this, we are not going to take a posture of trying to talk God into doing it as if he doesn't want to. This, if you did realize this, this was his idea. He is the one that started it. So we're not going to be coming and begging and pleading, because that's inappropriate. That implies that we need to talk him into something he doesn't want to do. But I will tell you right now that he wants to do it more than you want to receive it. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Part of this, I'm going to lead us through this. It's going to come in two steps. And I'm going to have scriptures to go with it. The first part is I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you tell your Father in heaven that the gift he's wanted to give you so long, you were ready to receive it. You want to receive from him. You're not begging him. We're not talking him into it. When you ask him, we're going to find out he's going to say yes, because he's been wanting you to have this. We're going to read scripture about that. And after he says yes, it's going to be back in our court. And I'm going to lead you in taking your step of faith to begin speaking so that the Holy Spirit can give you the utterance as the words come out of your mouth. I liken this to, I said a minute ago, Peter had to take a step of faith out of the boat, and God met him when his foot hit the water and he didn't sink. When you begin to speak, God's going to meet you right there, and he's going to turn it into a language that you didn't make up, even though you're going to think you made it up. I also liken this to when the boy brought the loaves and the fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed 5,000 people with it. Familiar with that story? The boy brought Jesus what he had, and Jesus turned it into something awesome. And so that's what we're going to be doing in a minute when we start to speak. We're going to give the Father what we have, and he's going to turn it into something awesome. Makes sense, everybody? Now, if you have already received this before, I would like to ask a favor of you, that you participate along with us so that those who haven't won't feel like people are listening to them. I want to make this as smooth as possible for everybody. You don't have to, but I would consider that a favor. All right, so the first verse I'm going to use, you don't have to turn to these, but you can. The first one is in Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. Jesus tells his disciples, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you." He doesn't say ask and it might be given to you. That's important. You don't have to wonder. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. I think he's trying to make a point here. From his side, the answer is always going to be yes. It's never going to be no. He goes on, he says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So this passage is telling us about asking the children of God, asking their Father, this implies that they're Christians, for this Holy Spirit experience we're talking about. And it's guaranteeing you that when you ask, he's going to say yes. Great. Does that sound good? Are you confident in that? So right now, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You just repeat after me. Again, if you've received this before, if you don't mind, just participate along with me. We're going to say this out loud. Okay, so we're going to come and talk to our Heavenly Father right now. So, dear Heavenly Father, I believe that this is for me. I want every good gift that you want me to have. I love you, Father. I thank you that you love me. And I believe this. So I ask you right now to baptize me with the Holy Spirit, just like you promised, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I can tell the Holy Spirit is starting to do stuff in here right now. Maybe some of you can feel that. If you don't, it's okay. Sometimes He will bring a feeling to help us have confidence, but it's not a requirement. Now, what you've just done is gone to your Father, who has had a gift He's been wanting to give you, and you asked Him, and He says yes. Okay? And so if you picture this in your mind, it's like He's holding a gift out for you, and all that's left is for you to reach out and grab hold of it. So right now, I'm going to lead you in your part of this, where you are going to reach out and take hold of it. So I'm going to go to John chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 37 through 39, which is what I base this next thing on. It says this. This is John 7, 37 through 39. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or some translations say innermost being, "will flow rivers of living water." And by this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is talking about the time where he sat at the right hand of the Father and was glorified and poured out the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And he tells us that anyone that would come to him and drink, then out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. And I know some of you are feeling that well up inside of you right now. So what we're going to do, God has said yes. This is us taking a step out of the boat. We're going to reach out and take this gift our Father wants us to have. We're going to symbolize this, and these steps are just to help you get your body involved. We're going to symbolize coming to Jesus and drinking by taking a deep breath in and breathing out. Now, I'm going to do this two times. We're going to do the first set as a practice so you'll know what to expect, and then the second time, we're going to do it for real. All right? What we're going to do is I'm going to lead us. We're going to come and drink three times like this. And then we'll breathe out. And on your third exhale, when you exhale, this is where you take your step. The first time as a practice, I want you to make a sigh just as loud enough so that you can hear yourself. You're just starting to use your body in this. Okay? So we're going to breathe in, breathe out three times. On the third exhale, we're going to make a sound like this. Okay? All right, so let's do it. Let's come to Jesus and take our first drink. And breathe out. Let's come and drink a second time. And breathe out. And let's come and drink a third time. And make your sound. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for what's about to happen. Because it is about to happen. All right, here we go. We're going to breathe in and breathe out three times again. On your third exhale, when you start to make that sigh, your step of faith is to start making any sounds that come to your mind and say them out of your mouth by faith, believing that God keeps His promises, which He does. What I don't want you to do is start talking to God in English and saying, "Thank you." He knows you're grateful. This is not a time to talk in English. It's a time to take a step of faith. So do not speak English or any other language that your brain understands. The point is that you do something your brain does not understand. That way it's not a mental activity. It's a step of faith. You may end up saying the same syllable over and over, and you might just be saying Jesus, Jesus in some language. Don't analyze what you're saying. It's faith, not mental. You got me. Okay, so let's reach out and take our gift. All right, let's come to Jesus and drink the first time. And breathe out. And let's drink a second time. And breathe out. And here it comes. Breathe in a third time. And start to speak by faith.